We're talking today with the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Oklahoma Congressman Frank Lucas. Congressman, we continue to see a lot of developments happen pretty quickly now on this 2013 Farm Bill process. Latest thing we've noticed, comments made by Speaker Boehner regarding his support of the good work, he calls it, of the House Agriculture Committee. Your thoughts about the Speaker?
We've come a long ways in the last year, Ron, and the work product of the House Ag Committee this time, the $20.5 billion in savings in the nutrition program, the $20 billion approximately in reforms in the commodity title and the other sections of the Farm Bill, represent real fundamental progress. And I think this is something that the Speaker was acknowledging with his support. Now, the Speaker also made it very clear in that conference committee meeting where I made my presentation this week about the Farm Bill, and he addressed his issues and concerns and opinions about the Farm Bill, very clear that we'll have an open process on the floor when it comes. That means that we'll not have what the parliamentarian would necessarily call an open rule, but we may have dozens or 30 or 40 amendments, and it will come, I believe, from every perspective of the bill, in dramatically increasing SNAP savings, dramatically reducing. There will be people who go after crop insurance. There's going to be a huge battle that the Speaker and my ranking member both have a very strong interest in the supply management portion of the dairy section of the Farm Bill. There'll be amendments on sugar. This will just be a very good legislative process. But at the end of the day, as the Speaker indicated, when all the amendments are settled, when all the battles are over and all the votes are counted, he intends to vote for passage of the Farm Bill. And I hope 218 of my colleagues will, and we're working on that whip count now, and then we'll be ready then to go to conference with the Senate, which has a bill that has some fundamental difference.
Now, as far as the process itself, you've been quoted as saying that it obviously the Rules Committee will be opening up to accept amendments fairly soon. Are you going to have some input into how amendments are kind of combined and actually then eventually brought to the floor?
I've had meetings already with the chairman of the Rules Committee. I'm visiting with members of the Rules Committee in general. And for our listeners' benefit, the House is different than the Senate. You can't just offer any amendment that you want to offer in the House. Because there's 435 of us versus 100 of them, we have to have an orderly, structured kind of a process. The Rules Committee will make in order the amendments that they seem are appropriate. I've asked the Rules Committee that while we need to have amendments on a wide range of subjects, giving every member's perspective a time for debate and for votes, nonetheless, let's not have redundant amendments. Let's not have 12 amendments that affect the same section of the bill. Let's do this in an orderly fashion. What I've advocated is a process that would lead to probably a two-day consideration of the Farm Bill. I think that's possible. If we continue to make progress on our whip counts, then I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, potentially, Ron, if on Monday or Tuesday of this coming week the process isn't opened up to accept rules, and potentially I think we could actually have the bill on the floor next Wednesday or Thursday if everything stays on its present course. Now, that's not dates given to me by leadership. That's, I think, where we're headed in the way this bill is coming together right now. That's the natural progression that's going to occur. Farm Bill next week, floor of the United States House.
Now, you've alluded to the whip count a couple of times. How do you feel about it at this point?
I feel better now than I felt at any time in a year. I think as the members have started to focus on the Farm Bill, and I've done presentations to the House Republican Conference, I've done presentations to the Republican Study Committee, I've done presentations to the whip organization, my staff has done staff-to-staff presentations with any a group that would listen on the Hill, as members have come to understand the true nature of the reforms, they're really warming up. And as the Speaker quite accurately said, if we don't pass this bill, we don't make the reforms in both the food stamp side of the Farm Bill and in the commodity title. The only way we make reforms are if we pass the bill. And I'll go one step further and remind all my neighbors back home in Oklahoma, in the way the sections of the Farm Bill were put together long before I got here, essentially the food stamp programs go on into perpetuity. The commodity titles expire, and you go back to the 49 law, which is unworkable. So what the net effect is, and why I've tried to stress this so hard to my conservative friends in the United States House, if you do nothing, social welfare programs just keep growing, and the commodity titles, the things that actually raise food and fiber, collapse, and that's not in the consumer's best interest or rural America's best interest.
Regarding you, one thing before we go to the Senate bill, regarding the possible debate and the battle over crop insurance per se is not a part of the five-year farm bill. It's got a kind of separate authorizing legislation, but yet it you indicated it will be part and parcel of the debate.
It will be subject to debate, and there will be amendments on eligibility. There will be amendments on how many net dollars go into the program. Part of our challenge here is, Ron, with the super drought in the Midwest, in many areas worse than anything since the mid-1950s, we had a substantial payout, and that makes the program based on last year look very expensive. But if you look at the 10-year history before that, crop insurance has really been a bargain. So part of the debate on the floor is trying to get my colleagues to understand that 2012, at least in a 10- or 20-year perspective, was an anomaly. You can't gauge the next 20 years based on the last 20 or the last year alone, and we'll overcome that. Now, there will always be people I serve with who want to micromanage farm policy, who will want to set language about eligibility based on how much money you make in some other business or how many assets you've got or a variety of other things. You know, my policy has consistently been that if a farm bill is really about raising food and fiber, then the resources should follow the production. If we're trying to raise the highest quality, safest, most affordable products, it should follow production. But I serve with a lot of members who want to determine what a farm should look like or who should be farmers or what region should be farmers, and we'll battle those kind of amendments that on the surface appear to be goodwill populist language, but in fact are very cunning, crafty efforts to give the federal government the ability to tell rural America how to live and how to farm. And that I do not and will not support.
Regarding the Senate bill, give me a little bit of a critique of what you saw come out of the Senate.
Well, on the nutrition side, the biggest challenge is they save $4.5 billion approximately. We save $20.5 billion. We end categorical eligibility. We make states, instead of a dollar, put the $20 into LIHEAP. The reforms in that area they adopt, they leave categorical eligibility in place. They say that instead of $20, a state has to put $10 in LIHEAP. That's basically where their entire $4 billion approximately in savings come from. On the commodity side, they have a shallow loss crop revenue program that the Midwest wants that's a little richer than what the House mix has. We are a little frugaler. We make them put a little more skin in the game, so to speak. On the choice side, the Senate tried to address a couple of crops, rice and peanuts, and basically didn't address the issues about choice for the rest of ag. And in the House bill, we clearly give producers a choice. You can either be a part of the shallow loss crop revenue system or you can participate in our price protection insurance program, but you have a choice. And that's critically important because the diversity of ag and the diversity of climate, the diversity of the way other federal programs affect prices are such that you just can't have a one-size-fits-all. If ethanol, if the renewable fuel standard, if you could distill every other product as efficiently as you distill corn, then I'd be in agreement with them. But right now, the rest of production ag just doesn't have a circumstance quite like that one federal mandate. And therefore, we've got to have choice, more tools to pick from for producers.
In about a week, if indeed there is success on the floor of the House of Representatives, very soon after that, there would be the organization of a conference between the House and the Senate. You would be chair. What are you anticipating at this point? In other words, I know you obviously have thought about this. We've talked about this a little bit before.
I would suggest to you, Ron, that this is a kind of a situation. The strong relationship that I have with both Colin Peterson and Chairwoman Stabenow, and the relationship I've developed with the ranking member in the Senate since he has become, Cochran has become the ranking member on the Ag Committee of the Senate, is such. A certain amount of this effort probably needs to be addressed in what would be referred to up here as pre-conference. You know, sort out the obvious cats and dogs, which will in fact be much of the commodity title. There are some other areas where I don't know that you can overcome the differences between the two bills without input from on high, so to speak, the president, the majority leader of the Senate, the speaker. That entails that dramatic difference between their $4 billion in food stamp reforms and our $20.5 approximate billion in food stamp reforms. We may have to have some outside help, but once some parameters are established, I really think it should be possible to pull this final product together. Senator Stabenow, he was a pleasure to work with in the super committee process of almost 2 years ago now, a pleasure in working on the details last year when it looked like we might all be able to go to conference then, but unfortunately never got to the floor in the House. And even now, she's a very hardworking, hands-on senator. I think Mr. Peterson and I will be able to work well with her again, and maybe we can make this happen in some reasonable fashion. Now, that said, Ron, all of our listeners out there know that the number of times that they've known what federal farm policy was before they sowed their wheat crop in the fall has been probably somewhere between zero and negative something. My goal is even if we don't have a bill on the books by the time we sow wheat this fall, at least I'd like for producers to know where the policy's going, be able to make decisions based on the circumstances, make good decisions.
So while it could be a quick conference, it may linger for a while.
Yes. I think 95% of the issues we can sort out in a hurry. There are a few tough things like reforms and food stamps that I don't know without help that can be settled in a hurry in conference.
Overall, your thoughts. You obviously you're looking forward to a very long week ahead of you. What is your overall attitude and feelings regarding getting this thing done?
I think, Ron, the wind is to our back. Momentum is on our side. If the next 2 days go as well as the previous 2 days have, then I believe we will indeed come to the floor next week. I don't expect to go to the floor unless we're right there with the 218 out of 435 votes. Get this thing done. Yes, basically 2 days of loud, shrill, rancorous debate. But ultimately, just as we used an open process in the committee last year and this year to craft a farm bill that ultimately both Republicans and Democrats supported overwhelmingly, I think if we have a good, straightforward debate on amendments that give members choices that reflect the concerns out in the countryside, I think we could create a consensus that we can ultimately wind up with a bill that works. And in the time I've been in this body, regular order, if you want to call it, or the process by which we debate, discuss, and occasionally cuss, and achieve a consensus has been used less and less. This farm bill is a good place to get back to the real way of legislating.
So if the whip count isn't quite there, we may be put off another week or so.
It's certainly possible, and I will say this. I share the speaker's perspective. When the will of the body is expressed, whatever the final product is needs to be passed so we can get on to conference. So whatever comes out of the debate and struggle, most likely next week, needs to be passed across the floor of the House.
Thank you, Congressman. Congressman Frank Lucas, the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, of course, Oklahoma's 3rd District Congressman, rancher from Roger Mills County in west central Oklahoma. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.